KPLU is thrilled to welcome a trio of unequaled talent in jazz today, a group well known for their albums in the 70s and countless different settings over the last 40 years. All three of these guys are band leaders in their own right, with a pair co-leading the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. We are thrilled to have them together, pianist Monty Alexander, bassist John Clayton, and drummer Jeff Hamilton.
Thank you.
Monty Alexander at the piano, John Clayton bass, Jeff Hamilton drumming, live in the studios here at KPLU. The new album is called Uplift 2. Monty, the first record, Uplift, wasn't with John and Jeff. So why the sequel? Why not call it John and Jeff and Monty?
Well, let's see. Not a lot of thought went into that one. It's just, as in jazz, things happen.
Right.
Yeah, we just moved into that. In fact, those are some recordings from quite a few years ago. But I just have to say, it's just great to, here we are some 35, 36 years later, getting together again, as we do have this occasional come-together reunion. And wonderful to be here in Seattle with each other.
Now, John and Jeff, one of the great bromances in jazz. These guys have played together since they were just coming up, learning to play. And I would love to hear about the first time you got together, Jeff and John. Was it love at first sight?
Well, it was for me. I had been listening to Ray Brown with Oscar Peterson for many years, and John had studied with Ray. So when we met at Indiana University, I had to play some music with John to see what that was like. And I have to say there was no feeling like that, nor sense. And so it sort of prepared me for when I did get to play with Ray Brown. So that was our first meeting. And I'll speak for John. Yes, it was love at first sight.
Well, honestly, I had to warm up to the relationship idea. but I did very quickly. Jeff was hungry. We were young, both hungry and eager to discover a lot of music, and we actually explored the music of Monty Alexander when we were studying. Although he's not that much older than we are, he had already done in his young years some amazing things, including a record that helped to change my life that Mel Jackson did with Monty and Ray Brown called That's the Way It Is. So that was one of the many things. But Jeff and I became close at Indiana University, as he said, and I had just met Monty a few years before that. So when I finished school, gave Monty a call, and he was still interested in me. And it just so happened, a couple of weeks from then, he needed a bass player, and he also asked, do you know any drummers? And here we are.
Now, one of the great albums of the 70s was your trio, this trio, live at Montreux, I believe it was, meant a lot to a lot of people. Tell us about how that album, that performance came together.
That was one of many evenings while we stuck together for two and a half years. Mm-hmm. Very intense being together on the road, traveling around, and we were going to Europe occasionally. And every night, I remember, every night just about was like that as far as, you know, excitement, and nobody knew exactly where it was going, but it was just a magical experience all the way around. So when we got to Montreux, which is this very celebrated festival, and thousands of people are coming to listen to jazz, you know, newcomers as well as the staples. We had to follow the Thad Jones, Mel Lewis Orchestra, and normally people would say, oh, how am I going to do that? But we just jumped in there like gangbusters and started doing what we did. And I used to feel like I was a quarterback in a football. I thought I was Joe Namath. and I would throw the ball to these guys, and they throw it back at each other and throw it back. And the whole time, it was just this joyful pulsation of what I love about jazz, and that it was a perfect friendship, perfect relationship, and the music. I didn't understand why it was happening, but I just knew it was every night we played, and that was that night at Montreux. And they recorded it, and somehow people stuck with it. They liked it.
What have you got for us next?
Well, let's see now. I used to pick these seldom played songs that jazz musicians, they would never pick tunes like this, but I just like music, all kinds of music. And mm-hmm. I said, guys, you know this song recorded by Michael Jackson? Now, this is everybody's favorite, Michael Jackson.
Everybody knows
this
Michael.
This is long before he did the Thriller record and other very popular records, when he was still Jackson 5, Michael. Mm-hmm. And one of the songs he did was from a movie I saw. It was about a rat, of all things, called Willard. And there was a theme song called Ben. Was Willard the rat, or was that the guy?
Willard was the rat.
Who was Ben?
Ben was the kid, right?
Ben was the kid. Yeah. There you have it. So we recorded Ben, and kind of came out pretty nice. And John plays with his wonderful arco technique. So here is Ben.
Live in the studios here at KPLU, pianist Monty Alexander, John Clayton bass, Jeff Hamilton drumming. I want to talk a little bit about jazz education. We're thrilled to have John Clayton here, who is the artistic director of Centrum's Jazz Port Townsend, which concluded not too many weeks ago. John, how did it go this year?
It was a big, love fest. I know that's an overused term, but that's exactly what it was. But not only that, it was a kind of a love fest centered around jazz and around jazz education with, if I may be so bold, an amazing faculty, including Jeff Hamilton, so many others. And I think that we reached a height that we haven't really seen before, as remarkable and important as all of them have been. There was something really magical about this one.
And it's not just, as some people might think, young musicians and students from around the Northwest. They come from all over the world to Jazz Port Townsend.
From all over the world and all ages. So we've got everything from basically high school students, young high school students, to people in their 70s and 80s. It's remarkable.
Now, John's son Gerald Clayton is becoming quite a jazz star himself, a terrific keyboard player, and I'll open this up to everybody. What do you think about the next generation of jazz musicians? It seems like they're more open to technology, perhaps, or maybe they've got a shorter attention span. Do you think that there are any advantages to being from this younger generation or disadvantages?
Well, I think they have so much to choose from. We didn't have YouTube and all these avenues to learn the music. We were busy trying to find the spot on the LP where we could drop the needle on the 33 and a third in the same spot to transcribe that lick that we wanted. So I think a great jazz player is going to be focused no matter what generation they're in, and they're going to find the music. I don't know if I wish I was coming up nowadays, because I think it would be too confusing. There's so much information there, and I just had a certain amount of albums that I really concentrated on, and I think it's good and bad. There are advantages to the old way and the new way, but I do think it's down to the individual and them seeking out the information they want and the people they wish to play with.
Right. Monty, a quick kind of silly question for you. Have you ever played with one of the Beatles? Because I know these guys have.
That's a silly question.
Yeah, I'll just leave it with what Jeff said.
John and Jeff got a recent chance, a call, I think, from Diana Krall to say, come out, I'm working on this new Paul McCartney jazz record. What was that experience like?
Well, it was, in the beginning, it was sort of secretive. You know, we got a call, are you available on such and such dates? Diana wants to have you guys do this thing. We can't tell you any more details about it at this point. And so, you know, they kept it really quiet. And then finally, it's sort of, when this happens, you have to agree that you won't put it on your Facebook, that there will be no photos taken, da, 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 da. So it was veiled with that. And, but that aside, it was a fantastic experience. And Paul McCartney is a wonderful person. Very, when you're around him, down to earth, and you know, things like in the studio, I remember him walking over to the piano and him saying, you know, I don't really know what this is called, but this is what I'm looking for. And I thought, wow, you know, here's a man of this stature, world renowned, blah, blah, blah. And he doesn't mind being honest with us and saying, you know, I'm musically limited in this particular example, and I don't mind letting you know that. Can you help me? This is what I'm looking for. So that, you know, just one small example of how open and gracious he was.
And that from a man who owned all the publishing for all the tunes that are on the CD. I mean, he owns all the songs, you know, and he was still saying, you know, what about this chord?
Now, that must have been pretty exciting, but you guys don't often get a chance to play with the world-renowned Monty Alexander. How exciting is it for you to get back together with this guy?
Oh, he's a regular guy, too.
You know, this thing about people who are very, very consequential in popular music or, you know, entertainment is so important. And Sir Paul McCartney is one of those people. And I must tell you, when I used to play at Gillies, and Frank Sinatra used to come into the club, mm-hmm. and I had the opportunity and the occasion to be in his company, and I accompanied him on several occasions. And he never talked about chords on the piano that he didn't know, but he was just like a regular guy, you know? And most of those great people, I love it that they're just down home, you know, and when you start making music together in that personal way, all the airs go, you know? So to hear about Sir Paul in that regard is not a surprise.
Let's hear one more tune from Monty Alexander, John Clayton, and Jeff Hamilton. What have you got for us to finish off today?
We used to play this song that reflects on my heritage as a guy from Jamaica. Cool. It's a Caribbean-flavored song called Funji Mama. It was written by Blue Mitchell.
Yeah.
And here we go. All Funji right. Mama.